didn't finish last week, not on account of Justin alone. It was just a lot of material, a lot of stuff. And I tend to overkill it. So is it okay if I do part two? I picked up a portion of scripture that I felt was pretty powerful. I read Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2. And so the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. In your face, Satan. That's my vernacular. Come on now. That's what it said. And then it said, they shall come against you one way and flee before you seven ways. How many know when God gets done with today's service, the enemy might have come at you one way, but before the end of this service and altar, he's going to flee seven ways. That's what that says. And so we went into the idea of understanding Naboth and the Jezreelite who had a vineyard in Jezreel next door to King Ahab of Samaria. And King Ahab asked Naboth, hey, would you give me your vineyard? Because I want to plant a vegetable garden. And it's so conveniently located next to the palace. Understand, Naboth and his vineyard was next door to King Ahab and Jezebel's palace. And listen, if you didn't know it, you are in this world, but you're not of this world. Did you know that you are people of God dwelling in the midst of an ungodly culture? And even though the culture might be godless, doesn't mean you have to give in to the lies and the petitions of the enemy. And when he comes at you one way, how many know God can send him tracking seven other ways? God can do. How many believe God's for you? And so he tried to cut a deal. How many said today, no deal, Satan? If it's deal or no deal, no deal. My vineyard's not for sale. I'm not giving it to you. You can't have it. You can make your vineyard anything you want to make it today. If it's your mind, serve notice on the devil. Decree and declare, it's my mind that God gave me. And Satan, you get your hands off of my mental capacities. Get your hands off of my emotional capacity. Get your hands, Satan, off my body. My body belongs to God. Get your hands off my family. Get your hands off my finances. Get your hands off my friends. Get your hands off my church. You are trespassing. And anything you got in your pocket, I'm not going to be bought by your intimidation. Not only am I not going to give you my vineyard, I'm not even going to sell you my vineyard. And there's some reasons, and I can't wait to tell you. If you know the text, Naboth said no, not for sale, no deal. Actually, the Lord forbid the inheritance my fathers passed on to me to be given over to you. He said, not no, but no way. Y'all help me preach today. Okay. King Ahab, he just thought he can just bully his way and take whatever he wants. How many know Satan, through the use of the vehicle, the tool, pride, sets people up and they have the audacity to think that they have control over what belongs to God. And they don't have control. How many know God's control of your life? And Satan has to take hands off. And so he said, you know what? I want to cut a deal with you. But Naboth said no. So Ahab went home sad, very depressed. It's good. I like to see the devil go home sad today. How many know it's time to kick the devil in the teeth? It's time to speak to the enemy and say, you don't have authority over what belongs to God. I'm God's child. Stop harassing me. Stop bullying me. You don't have a right to come into my mind and try to usurp authority over what God has already. I will pull down that stronghold. I'm going to take captive. I'm going to use the authority through the Holy Spirit to overcome your life. And here's the deal. There's a lot of people in the church today overwhelmed and overcome by Satan's harassment because they don't know the tricks and the enemies. Can I tell you, your enemy is not your neighbor. How many ever had a neighbor like that? God bless America. Your enemy is not your spouse. Your enemy is not your pastor and your church. The devil is a liar. But he tries to play us against each other's mental games, his mind games. And he's always dealing with the target, which is the mind. So he went home sad and depressed and just pouted. Can you imagine the king pouting? What a waste of authority and position. I don't believe there's room for pouting in the kingdom. Did you know you may not be the king, but you are sons and daughters of the king? Did you know that you were heirs and joint heirs of King Jesus? So why should you go around pouting and sad and depressed when your father owns it all? What is he trying to steal from you? What is he trying to take for you? And you got to learn how to start talking in your prayer time, taking authority over the enemy. And so Ahab, he pouted over the vineyard he couldn't have. The first lesson was don't covet what doesn't belong to you. How many know that's a good lesson? But I'm not preaching that lesson. But if you want it, there it is. Don't take what doesn't belong to you. Cohabitation's still a sin. Oh, we're not in the same room. Oh, okay. God bless America. Ain't nobody stupid. Mm-hmm. Yep. It got quiet, but I'm going to preach it anyway. The second lesson could be grow up, leader. Stop pouting. No pouting allowed, King Ahab. But he's Ahab, and his wife's Jezebel. So what do you expect, right? But our lesson, Naboth's vineyard, represents peace of mind. A mind for the vineyard. And there's a real enemy fighting for what doesn't belong to him. Satan's trying to steal your mind. Trying to rob you of your joy, of your peace, of your love, of your stability. An unstable mind, boy, there with that comes anguish and indecision and all kinds of anxiety. Can't make a decision. I'm so torn. I'm so distressed. It's a real enemy. And so Satan wants our minds, not only ours, but the next generation. But Naboth said, no, sir, you can't have it. And I'll tell you why. Number one, because I got it from my father. It's an inheritance that they entrusted to me. And they entrusted me, and they worked hard for it, and they sweat blood for it, and they prayed tears, and they earned it, and they worked for it, and they deserved it, and it was passed down to them from their fathers and their fathers. And I'm not going to be the generation that sells out to Ahab. And I'm serving notice not only on Oak Grove Assembly of God, but anybody who listens online this week, don't sell out the Word of God. Don't sell out for a generation who's going to inherit the Word of God. Don't give in. Don't give in. Keep on preaching the gospel truth. Don't give in to the pressure. Don't give in to the lies. Don't give in to the culture that's trying to censor and silence. Stand up and be counted. Don't give in to the pressure and the bullying of a King Ahab. It doesn't belong to you, sir. It belonged to my forefathers, and they gave it to me. That's number one. And I thank God for a generation of Pentecostal thinkers. I'm glad to be Spirit-filled. A quarter of my life, I'm 61 years old. For 18 years, I had no hope. Never even knew the Lord, never even read the Bible. And it wasn't many days after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And it wasn't a duty, it was a desire. And the Lord said I could have it, so could every generation after me. So there's no way on my watch, Brother Jim, that I'm going to act like the Holy Spirit is an intruder, that he's somebody that needs to be relegated to some back classroom somewhere because we're embarrassed. I mean, no, he's still the third person of the Godhead. He's still the baptizer. Jesus still baptizes people. It's one of the things we believe. It's our distinctive doctrine. I wish somebody in the Assemblies of God would get excited for the Holy Ghost. I'm not ready to sell out. And many have. Well, Pastor Ron, we don't want to be speaking in tongues. Somebody comes in, they're seeker. We need to be seeker sensitive. Hey, giving them the Holy Ghost as a gift from Jesus is the greatest gift they'll ever get. Why do you want to take the power? Then we're going to be the church that's ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. We want power, denying the power thereof. Have you heard that? And it's not new with the 21st century church. It's been going on since the first century church. By 90 years after the resurrection, they already were the Laodicean church. Not even 90 years. And then after that, they replaced it because they replaced the Holy Spirit and the Pentecostal way. They replaced that with come and see instead of go and tell. Hey, come and see. So they replaced a genuine communion relationship with God for a ritualistic communion. Hey, this is not a ceremony. This is a celebration. We're not here to do, check off the box, say we've been to church, I did my duty. I'm here because I want to be here. I'm not selling out to the religious crowd. And I'm not selling out to the secular crowd. And I'm not selling out to the political crowd. Jesus didn't come to do away with the Roman guards and the Roman authority and Caesar. He said, you render to Caesar what is Caesar's, but you better give to God what belongs to God. He said, you're in the world. You're living next door to Naboth, but Naboth doesn't own your vineyard. So you better get some guts, some Holy Ghost guts. Does there any make sense at all, Holy Ghost guts? He wants your mind. And I want God to raise up some Naboths with a generation of Naboths. Come on. Sound doctrine. Pentecostal thinkers. We still believe in the Word of God. We sang it today. We believe in the resurrection. We believe Jesus is coming again. We believe sin is sin. And salvation is still full and free. So, Lord, give us a generation that's like able to live next door to this worldly influence, to be able to stand against the bullying. The world is inconvenienced by a Pentecostal presence. It's not convenient to be a spirit-filled church in the 21st. It's not popular to be a tongue-talking, spirit gifts moving and operating. But you know what? I'm not here for popularity contests. I'm here to let God do what he wants to do in this house. If he wants to speak to his people, I say, speak, Lord. Your people are listening. This is not my agenda. It's his agenda. And Satan can't buy me out. Well, Pastor, your church is going to shrink. Nobody's going to come. Hey, hey. It was good being with you. Don't you know, Pastor, you preach like that, you're going to go to jail? Hey, hey, maybe you'll come see me. Bring me some peanut butter fudge. The world's inconvenienced by your presence. You know what? When you get to work tomorrow morning, they ought to know you got there. If they don't even know at work that you're born again, what kind of a difference are you making? Well, I don't want to ruffle no feathers. I don't want nobody. Listen, nobody said you had to pound them in the head with the Bible. Just be Jesus with skin on. Just be people of compassion. Just be not afraid to stand up for what the Word of God says. Don't be afraid to invite somebody to come to church. They might find Jesus. What do you have to lose? Satan wants to fill this generation's mind with pollutants. Better yet, Satan would love to plow over it all. Here's what Naboth said. I will plow over everything you have, Naboth, because I want to plant me a vegetable garden. Well, hey, Naboth told Mr. Ahab, you're not plowing over nothing because everything's in my mind comes from my God. He created my mind. He created every part of me. He knew me when I was in my mother's womb. He formed me when I didn't even know me. He knows all about me. He knows what I am and he knows what I'm not. But somehow the church needs to re-identify who they are. See, it's one thing to have faith. Faith says God can do this. Identity says God can do this through me because I am a child of the King. And Naboth said, I'm sorry, sir. You're not growing any bitter herbs over here. You're not opening no vape shop at Oak Grove Assembly of God. You take your marijuana and move along, son. Don't make me preach. Said, this was inherited by my fathers. It's not for you to plant your vegetable garden of trash, filth. My fathers told me I'm a man. Created by God to be a man. And my sister, she's a woman. Created by God to be a woman. In fact, God created he, male, female. That's it. Don't make me drop the mic. Don't make me drop the mic. That's it. There's no room for debating. You can come up with all the pronouns you want to. God made male and God made female. And a male can't have a baby and a female, I don't know what, she can do anything. I can tell you this. She wasn't created to tell me which socks match and what socks don't match. She was created for way more than that. And all the ladies said amen. For the word is used in the Hebrew for helpmate doesn't mean I get the chance to lord over her or that she's a second-class human. No, no, no. That word actually is used some other places in the Word of God to represent an identity of God himself. I'm not here to tell you that women are God. Some do think they are, but they're not. But they're not a second helper. They're not just a helper. They're not lower. How many know the same value for the man, same value for the woman? What culture's trying to do is reimagine and redesign and sell out what God said we were created to be to come up to some perverted portion of who we might be. No, no, no. It's a lie. I said it's a lie. Thank God for Naboth's generation not willing to give in or give up. Can somebody shout, stand strong? Stand strong. Stand up for the unborn. Stand up for life. Stand up for life. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. No, I believe in the authority and the value of women too. How many know if they would have been aborted, they wouldn't be a woman? I said they would have never had a chance to become a woman if we kill them all. But we let a little girl live and she became a woman. Let a little boy live and he became a man. It matters who's influencing the next generation. And if we fill their mind with vegetables that are not ordained by God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Well, Pastor, what's wrong with broccoli? Nothing. I just don't want any. Thank God for Naboth's generation. Two reasons. One was because it was handed down to him as an inheritance. The second reason was his kids and his grandkids were counting on him in giving the inheritance to their future. I'm thankful. How many is thankful and grateful that God gave you an opportunity to inherit the blessing of God and the heritage of God and salvation from a mama and a daddy or a grandma or grandpa or somebody picked you up along the way and tutored you and mentored you and helped you and fathered and mothered and aunts and uncles and somebody spoke into you. Somebody like a Paul who said to a Timothy, hey, there's something in you I see called potential. And the church needs to rise up and say, hey, we're not going to kick this generation to the curb. We need them. Therefore, Naboth says to King Ahab, you can't have it because it's reserved for my children and for my grandchildren. I think about the price people paid for Pentecost and the price for the inheritance. You know, Isaac had opportunity to pass it along to Jacob and Esau. Esau rightly was supposed to have the birthright, but it was hunting season. No, I'm teasing. I want all my hunters to know I love you. If you didn't kill anything, I let you pass on the tithe, but if you killed anything, not neutral rat, not a roadkill. Deer backstrap. That's what I'm looking for. The first fruit. The first fruit. I'm just reading the Bible, okay? If you don't have the money, bring the deer, you know. If you have a chicken, bring an egg. Whatever you got. Eggs are $10 a dozen. I'm saying to you, Isaac was going to give to Esau the inheritance. But he got preoccupied. I'm starving. I mean, the devil will make you believe you're starving. You don't know what starving is. I've been to Haiti twice. I've seen starving. I've seen poverty. I've looked people in the eye who were very hungry. Been to Nicaragua, where they ran for miles, miles to get a little bowl of beans and rice. I saw them coming, as many as could see, as far as I could see. They came to the trash pile in Managua, Nicaragua, to get a bowl of rice from convoy. I was there, and I saw them. They ate it up. They ate it up. But he saw he was hungry. He's going hunt and get him some venison, made a pot of stew. But by the time he got, how many know, one hunting trip away, he sold his birthday. Oh, Laban, you know, he tricked him a little bit. I mean, not Laban, but his Jacob. Jacob. God bless Jacob. How many know some days I wake up Jacob and some days I wake up Israel? How many of you had that problem? You got to learn who you are. You got to learn who your identity is. Because Satan, Ahab, will tell you you are Jacob when you're really Israel. And that's why God changed his name, so he can change his name so he can change his character. Because your character matters more than your vineyard. God's not trying to keep something from you. I think about the price that was paid. Much blood shed. People laid down their life to give up the world and enemy, for that matter. Tears shed. Keep the message alive. I'm thankful for those who persevere to protect and propagate the Pentecostal fire. And I appreciate that, don't you? But greater than the past is my burden for the future. I'm burdened. Pastor Ron is burdened for the next generation. I am. I'm burdened. And that's why I spend a lot of time with young people, young men, young women, and people who are willing to say, I'll take the gospel. That's why I go places very far away. You think it's a missions trip? You think it's a fun little skip? It's 20-hour one way in an airplane, and I've got a little touch of ADD. Just don't ever want to get on a plane with me. You'll be saved by the time we land. You'll get saved just to get me off of your back. You backslide when we land, that's your problem. I had the duty to give you the gospel. Amen? But it's not a picnic. It's a lot of work. And our forefathers worked. And how many know we got to give the same effort? We got to hold on to the doctrines of God. Because the future, I'm concerned for the kids and the grandkids. I want to touch this generation. I want them to have the same privilege and blessing and message and power. I want them to experience the same things God allowed us to experience. I mean, no, God's still moving in the church today. Stand in faith. Faith is believing God can do it. Identity is believing God can do it through me. God wants to use you. I don't want this next generation to have a memory of the past inheritance. Oh, Azusa Street. Azusa Street. You heard about Azusa Street? Hey, how many glad for what happened at Azusa Street? But I need God to do something today on Oak Grove Street, on Cherry Street, on Bennett. Amen? I decree and declare, the devil, you can't have my vineyard. You can't have my mind. You can't have this next generation's mind. We will fight to keep a Pentecostal power in this generation. I want to fight to keep our minds renewed by the Holy Spirit. The audacity of the enemy thought he could, because of his position as king, thought Naboth would automatically bow down and give up without a fight. And I'm afraid the 21st century church has given in. And listen, if you give the enemy an inch, Pablo, you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. You just open the door of a foothold, just a foothold, a foot in the door. They will swing that thing wide open. Oh, Pastor, give up. Lighten up. Don't be so intense. Okay? Okay? When this generation has literally lost their mind, you go back and listen to this message. But we have a chance today to say, Satan, you can't have the mind of this next generation. We have a chance today to serve notice on the enemy. Devil, You can't have my mind, and you can't have the mind of the next generation. Because we're going to train them, and we're going to invest in them. We're going to see the potential in them. We're going to love them and teach them and guide them and help them so they can hold on to the same hope we have. The audacity of the devil. He is a liar. He tries to intimidate, throw his weight around, his positions around. He's demanding for us to give up what God gave us. And when Naboth didn't bow, he offered to buy it. It reminds me of the story of the Word of God of Nebuchadnezzar. Remember that? He had a decree in all the kingdom. Everybody was there, one big crowd, hundreds of thousands. And he said, when the music starts, you bow. I mean, no, that's exactly what to say. Satan, whether it's Nebuchadnezzar or Ahab or Pharaoh, I mean, no, they're all representation of the enemy or the mindset of the world and the culture. Are y'all getting this? But there were three young people, three little Hebrew boys. And they said, oh, excuse me, king. Not today, devil. We're not bowing. And so the servants were taken back at it. How many know some church leaders in American church, even Assembly of God church, taken back at it? You're not going to bow? You're not going to give in? What's the matter with you? Why don't you go with the flow? Hey, if the flow is going toward God, I'm in it. But if the flow is going in a different direction, how many know I'm going in a different direction? I'm not going to be bowing to men and men's doctrine. I'm going by God's word. And so the servants went to the king and said, hey, everybody, when the music started, everybody bowed. Boom, it was so easy. And there's three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they said, to go tell you, they're not bowing. What shall we do? Well, he said, I'll tell you what you do. The pain quotient needs to be turned up. So it's not hot enough. I want you to turn up that furnace 7 times hotter. Remember I told you the enemy will come at you one way, he'll run from you 7? Well, if you go in reverse, he comes at you 7 ways and you run way 1. I mean, no, you run 1 way up. That's the way you run. Amen? That's what Joseph did whenever Potiphar's wife came attacking him. Throwing her beauty around, her position around, her authority around, her authority around. And Jezebel got a hold of it because King Ahab, he was pouting. So Jezebel got a hold of it. But Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they said no. And they said, oh, king, even if you, hey, if you kill us, go ahead. We believe, first of all, that our God will provide. And second of all, even if he doesn't, we're not bowing to you anyway. Can I serve notice on the devil? Can somebody help me serve notice on the devil? Hey, if the world tries to attack my family, you listen to me, you can't have them. If you try to take them, I'll die for them. Truth is, I don't have to die for them. Jesus already did. Not only died for them, he died for me. So why would I sell out my birthright when Jesus died for me, give me life? How embarrassing is that? It means I don't have enough strength or grit to trust that God said in his word is true. Therefore, not for sale. Sorry, I'm going to keep on fighting. Maybe they did not know they had another alternative. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There is another alternative to this generation. You don't have to sell out. You don't have to be confused. I mean, no, God is not the author of confusion. If you're confused with your identity, right, if you're confused in your spirit about anything, guess what? Perfect answer for you. It's not from God. Because God has not given us a spirit of confusion or fear, but of power, love, and a. I wish there was some young people here could stand up and say, I'm not going to be intimidated by all the perversion. And listen, they're up against it. You go to the school campuses today, our students are up against it. Even professors and teachers, some of administrators are buying in because it's an equal opportunity employer. Not every educator is born again. And if you're not born again, you don't understand a thing I'm saying. Are you hearing me? So Satan stands in the face of these unlearned, ignorant. Paul says, though, to the church, I don't want you to be ignorant about the devil's devices. Hey, you stand in the face of hypocrisy, that hypocritical world that's out there. You stand up. Amen? You stand for holy living. Stand for purity of mind. Stand for purity in a filthy culture. Amen. Stand for godly values, like I just mentioned. Stop being bullied by casual Christianity. Well, Pastor, I'm okay. You're okay. We're all okay. And listen, not everybody in the church is okay. You can mark that one down. Too many believers are bowing to Baal, bowing to people of position, mainly because maybe they didn't know they had another opportunity. I have to tell you, you can fight. You can stand up with Holy Ghost tenacity and say, devil, you can't have my mind. Can't have the mind of the next generation. Don't sell out. Don't bow down. Don't give in. It's not for sale. Ahab had the money. In fact, Ahab was willing to pay for it so he can do what? Plow it under. Satan's not happy until he eradicates every pure Christian doctrine of the church. The divinity of Christ, number one on his list. Jesus is not divine. He was just a rabbi. He's just a good man, a good teacher, rabbi. No, how many know Jesus was more than a rabbi? I said, how many know he was more than a baby in a manger? He's more than a savior. How many know he's coming back as judge? And if you don't accept him as savior, you're going to meet him as judge. That's the truth of the gospel. And everybody here said, oh my. Young people, listen to Pastor Ron today. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed. And secondly, don't be afraid to stand up. Stand up for something or you'll fall for anything. He wants to pay you off in order to shut you up about the Holy Spirit. Shut you up about the fact that Jesus saves and that name only. There is salvation in no other name except the name of Jesus. Oh, Pastor, how intolerant is that? You mean, Pastor Ron, you think that, Christianity and Jesus is the only way to heaven? Absolutely. Why, Pastor Ron? Because it says no other name in heaven or earth that a man can be saved except the name of Jesus. And if this is not true, then we're all just a bunch of ignorant people walking around. This is the truth of the word of the living God. Let every man be a liar and let his word be true. So you may not understand him, but you best not sell him out. I mean, the Holy Ghost is our only hope for the next generation. Forget popularity and prestige and prosperity. I want power. I want the power they had at Pentecost. Our Pentecostal faith is not for sale. Ahab wanted Naboth to trade off just to get him out of his neighborhood. Just get out of my neighborhood. I don't want you in my neighborhood. You're a nuisance. Your presence next to the palace is a continual reminder to me that I know I'm not serving God. I mean, the world knows they're not right. You don't have to really even preach. I mean, the Holy Ghost can preach to them better than I can. And Satan wants to dilute the Pentecostal message, rid it of its power. And if we do, then we're going to become weaker than we already are. We're going to have less influence. A light is going to go out, and we're going to be less effective in the world if we keep on catering to the culture. Three things came out of the Azusa Street, and I'm finished. How many like to hear three prophecies that came out of the Azusa Street revival? One, two, three, four, five. Mighty Tigers, don't take no jive. Six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Hurry, here we go. First prophecy. This is Pentecost in America in 1907. And how many know Pentecost in America is in jeopardy right now in the American church? So the first prophecy was there will be an overemphasis on the power of God rather than the righteousness of God in our lives. They're going to be chasing and pursuing conferences and power and miracles and signs and wonders over the righteousness of God in their own life. I mean, no, anytime righteousness of the kingdom and righteousness of God in you is secondary to the power, then you can become like Simon the sorcerer, who saw the power and wanted to buy the power. But Apostle Peter says, not for sale, buddy. You can't buy this. You can't buy the power of God. How many know it's only supernaturally given through God and the Holy Ghost? You can't manufacture it. You can't make it up. You can't buy it. You can't teach it. It's from God. So don't ever overemphasize the power of God over the righteousness of God. That's when it happens is you ever learn and you never come to the knowledge of the truth. Prophecy number two, there will be an overemphasis on praise to a God that people no longer pray to. They're praising a God they don't pray to. And worship and praise is awesome. How many love praise and worship? But if all you did coming here to do praise and worship, you could have stayed home in your living room. I mean, no, the power of God and the presence of God are real. And if you're not praying to the God that you're praising, then that means there's no relationship. That means you're singing a song. And some of you can't even sing it without putting the words on there. Oh, goodness. My worship is over. They didn't click the dot. They couldn't get the next line. I can't worship. I'm dead in the water. I didn't worship today. Why? Well, they couldn't get the thing was broke. So I couldn't work. How many know if your worship is conducive to the technology, you have some serious issues. You better get a song in your heart. Somebody needs to read the Psalms and start learning how to worship God before you get to church. You don't turn on the worship when you get here. Worship comes from the inside out, not from the outside in. We're only leading you into worship. You already have worship. But if you don't pray to the God you're worshiping, you're missing out on the whole deal. You don't even have a relationship. You got to learn how to talk to God. The reason I love him is because I talk to him. The reason, I feel like preaching. Number three, because you got to get out of here. Chiefs are playing. Prophecy number three. There will be an overemphasis on spiritual gifts rather than the lordship of Jesus Christ. Hey, I want you to know something. It's already happening. I'm glad for the nine gifts of the Spirit. I'm glad God has a tongue in here, an interpretation in here. But remember what happened to the Corinthian church? They misused the gifts. They abused and misused the gifts because they forgot to worship the giver of the gift. And all God wanted to do was talk to, he has the nine gifts of the Spirit to talk to his people, to utilize his people in the kingdom work so that you can do supernaturally what you couldn't do naturally through word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discernment, working of miracles, faith, healing, through the speaking gifts of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Thank God. How many thank God for all nine gifts? But let's not forget the fruit. Did you know there was nine fruit? And if you don't have the nine fruit, then I wonder about the root. Because you have to have a root to produce fruit. And all you're doing in the speaking gift is having the toot. Sounding brass, clanging cymbals. You know. Wanting to be heard. I mean, no, the only one that needs to be heard in this house is him. And I'm grateful that we have created an atmosphere of worship and praise that is conducive for him to enter in. Because God can do in 1 second, through one word, than I could do in a lifetime of training and teaching. So we have manufactured a pseudo-Pentecost and risen up in the church. It's weak, it's ineffective, and it's an imitation. But I still believe there is a real... I said, I still believe there's a real move of the Holy Spirit that really wants to sweep over this church and over every church and all throughout the land and around the world. I still believe in the last days, Jesus said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. You understand, it's him pouring it out. It's Jesus who gave the gifts, the five gifts of the ministry gifts, the Holy Spirit. He gave the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives the nine gifts of the Spirit. They're gifts of the Spirit. In other words, they're not mine. I don't own anything. He owns everything. So don't get big-headed if he uses you in the gift. It's his. And the purpose is for him to glorify himself in his house with his people. You see how Satan gets in your mind? He wants you to believe that you're this and, wow, you're that. And that's exactly what happened to the Corinthian church. And the Apostle Paul, thank God, had to come in and do a little bit of teaching. I still believe there are a few Naboths who have a spirit rising up in them. Devil, you can't have my mind, and you can't have the inheritance, and you will not plow under what God has passed down. Satan, you will not plow under what God has passed down. How many get that in your spirit? Anybody getting that in your spirit? I didn't work this hard to come to Oak Grove. This is not a vocation for me. This is a calling. I said, this is not a career for me. I didn't stay here with you 22 years to coddle you and cuddle you. We came to make disciples. And so I appreciate you helping us. But I want to serve notice on the enemy. You can't have the next generation. I'm not ignorant of Satan's tricks. I never thought I'd see the day when believers denied the Holy Ghost or act like they're not in a war over the mind and soul of this next generation. We are. I say, stand up, speak up, and speak to the enemy. Satan, this is my mind. It's God's territory, and I'm not threatened by your lies, nor am I selling out. I'm dressed and ready and engaged for battle. I'm not falling for your tricks and your booby traps and your lies and your tactics and your schemes. I'm not intimidated by your bluffs, nor will I be buffeted, nor will I be bullied by your... How many know you got to learn how to talk to the devil? If you talk to God, you learn how to talk to the devil. All of his propositions. He's got one for you. If he has a price tag for your vineyard, he has a price, a proposition for you. He's going to offer it to you. If he had the audacity to offer it to Jesus when he was in fasting and prayer for 40 days and offer him the kingdoms of this world, I mean, oh, he definitely has a proposition for you. But can I tell you what Jesus, oh, I feel like that preaching right here now. Jesus said, Satan, you better get behind me. I am not for sale. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of my God. Woo! Get thee behind me, devil. Satan, you can't have my mind. Part 2. 2.0. I'm not falling for your tricks. Come on, church. We ought to shout praises for the Lord. Now, look at this before I get out of here. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. How? Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. It's no joke. There's a war going on. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. Your enemy is not a person, it's a spirit. See, how does the enemy come against my mind, Pastor? He beguiles, he seduces, he opposes, he resists, he deceives, he sows fear, he sows intimidation, hinders, tempts, bullies, persecutes, mocks. All of these things he does, they're all destructive. Why? Because he has one job description: kill, steal, and destroy. So his aim is to disarm you, to debase you, to take your value, to take your joy, to take your mind, to diminish God's glory in your life, to intimidate your mind. He wants to ultimately destroy you and your seed, destroy your influence, and put out your lights. I'm done. Chrissy, if you want to, you can come back, and we're going to go to God. We're going to claim what belongs to us. So we're going to claim not only our stuff that God gave us, we're going to claim the stuff for our next generation. We're going to do what they can't do. And here's what I know. Satan is scared to death of a church that knows what's going on. He's scared to death of you. There's no reason for us to be intimidated or lied to. But I'm telling you that just like he tried to steal the seed of baby Moses before he can fulfill the call of God and deliver the people of Israel out of Egypt. And just like he tried through King Herod and King Pharaoh, kings of this earth, to deceive and to lie and to buy out and to trick. All the babies, Herod said, two and under be killed. He wanted to snuff out Jesus before Jesus got going. Isn't that something? The aggressive agenda today is not an abortion agenda. It is an agenda that is worse than abortion, taking life. And even if they can't take the physical life, they're trying to take the life of their mind. You understand? Their identity.